We want to turn in God's Word to 2 Corinthians and the chapter 8, the portion that we read together in 2 Corinthians and the chapter 8. And I want to speak really in verse 18, 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. In verse 18, and we have sent with him the brother whose prayers is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And here we come face to face with a man who's simply known as a brother. And of course, there's another one mentioned in verse 22. Some feels it's a different one. And we have sent with them our brother. And so here we're told about a man in the church, and he was known as a brother. And we want to look at this this morning. Let's all pray for God's blessing. Father in heaven, I pray you be with us as we turn to the Word of the living God. We couldn't live without the Bible, the Scriptures of truth. And I pray you'll bless the lessons that we learn from this term, from this man, Lord, that is found in your Word, the brother in the churches. We pray for a blessing. We pray for thy help. And we ask you, Lord, to glorify your great name in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come to the Bible, we find that there are many great saints of God that are brought before us from the pages of Holy Scriptures. Men like Abraham, Moses, Joseph, David, Elijah, Peter, Saul, who became known as the Apostle Paul. They are mentioned by name many, many times in the Bible. For instance, Abraham is mentioned around 250 times in God's Word. There are other believers in the Bible and their name is only mentioned once. Just once you'll find their name. For instance, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 21, when Paul writing to Timothy, he said, "Do thy diligence to come before winter. Abulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren." So he mentions here four people, but their name is only mentioned once in God's Word. But there are some Christians in the Bible, and their name is not mentioned at all. And you can turn your mind to Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith, speaking about great men of faith, and even great ladies of the faith who stood for the Lord Jesus Christ, and their names are mentioned. But there are some others in Hebrews chapter 11 who suffered greatly for the faith, and their name is not mentioned at all. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 36, "And others had trial of cruel mockings," and so on. Their name is not given at all. And this is what we find here at the church, writing to the church of Corinth, because the Apostle Paul was writing concerning collecting and giving out other ways to help other believers. He mentions a man who would be involved in this work, and he talks to him as a brother. You can see that in verse 18. "We have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." As I said in verse 22, it speaks, "And we have sent with them our brother." Some feel this is a different man, and so on. But here we find a man is mentioned as a brother. Who he is, we're not certain. It's guesswork. Some people say as well that it was Silas. Some says it Barnabas. Some says Mark or Apollos. But the Word of God does not tell us who he is. And when God is describing this man in the church, he's simply described as a brother. "We have sent with him the brother." We don't know his name. But if we look at this name given to him, there are many lessons we can learn about this man known as a brother. And first thing I say about this man is this. It speaks about his family. It speaks about his family. The very term brother speaks about a relationship. Here was a man. Listen, he's a brother in the Lord. Paul spoke of Apollos in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 12 and touching our brother Apollos. And notice the term here, our brother. This man is known as the brother, therefore there's a family. He's in a family. The same family. Here is a man and he's in the family of God. He's a child of God. God is his father. He has the same family as the Apostle Paul and others who are named here in the New Testament. He has the same family. He's a child of God. How did he get into this family? If he's the same family. How does anybody get into this family? It's by the grace and the sovereignty of God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, remember Paul writing to the believers at Ephesus, and he says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And when the Apostle Paul was writing to this church at Ephesus, he was reminding them about their salvation. How were they saved? He tells them that God had chosen them before the foundation of the world. How did this man, the brother, get into this family? God had chosen him to be a son. That's how he was brought into this family. It was C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, who says, I believe the doctrine of election because I am quite certain if God had not chosen me, I shouldn't have never chosen him. And this great man of God himself tells us here how he was brought into this family. He says, God, it was God in his grace. It was God in his mercy. He chose me. He brought me into this family. Here's a man was elected into it. He was adopted into this family. Remember Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Listen, according to the good pleasure of his will. The good pleasure of God's will. Here's a man, he's a brother, he's the same family. God had taken him from the world, from sin, and brought him into his eternal family. What love, what mercy God has shown to this man. It doesn't tell us about his past. It doesn't tell me about his lifestyle before his conversion. We're not told, but we're told here. Here's a man, and in life he's known as a brother. He belongs to God's family. Amazing, amazing grace had lifted him. We sang that in the psalm. He took me out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings. He could sing that psalm with all his heart. Because God had taken him out, friends. From the miry clay, from that pit. And now he's on a rock. He's the same family. The family of God. God's sovereign. Man's responsibility, of course, in it as well. He had to receive Christ as a saviour. He had to look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come into the world and bleed and die upon the cross for his sins. He must come. He must receive Christ as his Lord and Savior. As the Bible says in John 1 and verse 12, but as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. How did this man become the son of God? He looked to Christ. The Lord Jesus washed him in his blood. He gave him eternal life. He was resting on the Lord Jesus Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. What other ground is sinking sand? Oh friend, he's nameless. This man, he's nameless. Yet he's in the family of God. And you must say to yourself here today, you're nameless in a sense, perhaps, to other people. But you're in the family. If you're saved, you're God's family. The brother, or we can put the word sister in here, of the Lord. There was a day the Lord called you by grace. Called you out of the world. He called you from sin. He brought you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you turned to him. And you looked to him. You said, Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to wash me. I want you to take away my sin. Something happened. to all of us, dear friends, we have the same family. The family of God. We have different backgrounds. We have different accents, as you can hear, in the congregation. But you know, we have the same Savior. The same Lord, the same Father. The same one that saved me at the other end of the world has saved you at this end of the world. And we're known as the brother. The family of God. The best family in the world is God's family. And do you rejoicing this morning? You're in church. There are others in the world and other places that don't want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with Christ. But here we are. We're in God's house and we're singing praises. And we're listening to the word of God. We're in the family of God. We shall be rejoicing in the great things the Lord has done for us. Dear friends, he had the same family. He had the same faith as well. Remember, in 1 Timothy 1 verse 2, Paul was writing to Timothy and he said, "Unto Timothy, my own son, listen, in the faith." I want you to notice this. In the faith. There's only one true faith. We don't believe in a multiplication of faiths. There is only one true faith. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us one faith. One faith of God's elect. One faith that is found here in the word of the living God. And every person in God's family is part of the same faith. Now we may differ in certain issues, as we do. All over the world, God's people, they differ in other issues like baptism, the second coming, or election, or government, or singing. We differ in certain things. But we all agree this, friend, that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. That's my faith. I believe he's the Savior. I believe there's no other Savior. He is the one who loved us. He's the Son of God who came into the world and bled and died upon the cross for sinners like us. He's the only one who can take us to heaven. This is the true faith. And this man is known as a brother. He had the same faith in this family. And you and I all believe this, who see it this morning. Jesus is my Savior. I have a Savior in the Lord Jesus. He's the only one. That's the same faith. We have the same faith here this morning in this family. And then you think about the family also, there's the same features. You know yourself, there are some families, and some people point people out to me and say, "You see that man?" And I say, "Yes, but he's so-and-so's brother." And when you look at him, I say, "Well, you know, you can see why that is the case." Some families have the same features. It's the same in the family of God. We have the same features now. I'm not talking here about physical features because we all look differently. But Christ-likeness. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed," listen, "to the image of his Son." And this is to happen in my life. Listen, this is to happen in your life. And this man who's known as a brother, in his life, he was seen to be Christ-likeness. You can see Christ in his life. The Lord Jesus had saved him. Listen, the Lord Jesus lived in his life. You can see the features of Christ in his life. Remember, it says in Peter and John, when they looked at Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, in verse 13, they took knowledge of them, listen, the beam of Jesus. They looked at them. They said, "There's something about these men. They've been with Jesus." They can see a Christ-likeness in their life. Courage, of course. And that should be true of every one of us here who's saved here in this morning. There should be this Christ-likeness. We are the same family. The same faith. The same features. Christ, the Lord Jesus, should be seen in our life. And I wonder, is that how it is in your life? Do people look at you and see this Christ-likeness? You see, he's just termed here the brother. And child of God, we're all in the same family this morning. The same faith and the same features here before the Lord. And then there's another lesson I want you to notice about this man known as a brother. I want to speak about his fame, because it says, "We have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the church, in the gospel, throughout all the churches. The Apostle Paul reveals here, this man was known. This man was known. He was not a secret disciple. He was not hiding his light. This man was known. And you think here about his fame, the center of his fame. It tells us here, excuse me, it was in the gospel, whose praise is in the gospel. And here's a man was known that he loved the gospel. Now, perhaps he preached it, I do not know. But no doubt he lived it. No doubt he obeyed it. No doubt he loved it. This man was known whose praise is in the gospel. He loved the gospel of Christ. He was like the Apostle Paul. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the very power of God unto salvation. His fame was in, listen friends, the gospel. In the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this was the center of his fame, of course. The reputation of one who helped to give out the gospel. He gave the missions. He perhaps supported, no doubt he did, the local church. He was directly involved in the work. As I said, we're not sure what he did, but we're sure of one thing. His praise was in the gospel. This was the center of his praise. And I wonder, is this how you're known? Is this how I'm known? Whose praise is in the gospel? That we love Christ. That he's my Saviour. Now this is standing out in our life. It should be a feature of your life. Listen, it should be a feature of my life. This man is known here as a brother whose praise is in the gospel. People knew he had been to Jesus for the cleansing power. He had been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And they knew it. This was the center of his praise, his fame. And so I hope it is with you. You're known to be linked to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the testimony, we were singing that great hymn, Ashamed of Jesus. Oh friends, never be ashamed of Christ. Never be ashamed of the one who loved us, who's washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, stand up for Christ. We need to stand for Christ in this dark and evil day. This man was known to be one whose fame was in the gospel, the center of his fame. Look at the churches in his fame. It says whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Now, they didn't have the technology that you and I have today. You couldn't go and sermon auto and listen to it and say, well, we must listen to this man. We heard about it. No. There was none of that technology in those days. But friends in the churches that were speaking about him, not just local places, but other places as well, you just had to mention his name. And it says, we've heard about him. We have heard about this man. His praise is in the gospel. He loves Christ. He serves Christ. Perhaps he preaches Christ. But his fame was known in all of the churches that he loved Christ. That he loved the Lord Jesus. I wonder how you are known or I am known in other churches. What do you think of us? Do they know that we love the Lord Jesus? We stand for him. We serve him. We live for him. How are we known? Are we known as crabs or twisted or cold-hearted? Oh, to have a testimony like this man who's known as a brother, whose praise is in the gospel, and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ in this particular day and age. We need people to live for Christ and to stand for him. And so we find these things here about this man in the Bible. And then we see the next lesson about him also, about his favour. Because look at verse 19. And it's speaking here about this brother, and not only that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace which is ministered by us to the glory of the same Lord. So we find here that this man was chosen to do a work. And notice here that this brother was not chosen by a private church or just singular church. Notice here, not only who was also chosen of the churches chosen. It wasn't just the local congregation. Now, he would have been loved in the local church. They would have loved to see him in the prayer meetings, in the work. They would have loved it. But in the churches, they all agreed, here's a man for the job. Here's a man. Send him with this gift to the churches. We all agree that our brother, the brother is the man. And so the church, you can see here the choice, it was plural. You can see also that the choice was particular. They chose a man they could trust. Someone who was honest. Because you see down there, and it says in verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So he brings honesty into this. Here's a man had to be honest. He was given money or gifts for other people that were led into his care. And so this man, if he had sticky fingers, he could have helped himself, he could have helped his family, he could have helped those he wanted. No. But here's a man who is honest. He's honest in this work. And so the choice was also particular. They could depend upon this man. He was an honest man. He was honest. You know what Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 12? Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. God's people are to be honest people. We are to be known. We are to be trusted. Wherever you're working, your boss should be able to trust you. He should be able to trust you. In every way, in every fashion. Because we are to be trusted. We are to be honest in all of our dealings. We are to be honest in all of our words and all of our actions. And here's a man, I've no doubt about it. This choice was particular. This says, here's a man, he can take this gift. We can trust him. We can trust him. We can trust him 100%. Not just one church. But all the churches said, the brother, he's the man. He's the man for the job. And no doubt, friends, I think of this man. And while he was honest, no doubt he was a spiritual man as well. Man filled with the spirit of a living God. And no doubt he was a wise man. He wasn't foolish. Man of wisdom. I've no doubt about him that he was a loving man also, this man. This man going, he loved the brethren. If he didn't love him, he wasn't going to make this journey. Why would he leave home? Why would he leave his family? He had a long journey to make. Well, oh, he loved the brethren. He loved those in Christ. He's willing to go. In 1 John 3, verse 14, and we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Here's a man, he loved the brethren. He loved his brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, they loved him. And he loved them. Friends, here's a man, he's honest. He's an honest man. Here's a particular work in serving. Oh, that you and I, child of God, in this meeting this morning, that we would be known as people who's honest. We tell the truth. Listen, we preach the truth. We can be depended upon. Because we're honest, this is a man known as a brother in the churches, and we find here this tremendous truth here about him. He's an honest man. He's telling the truth. But I want you to notice here another lesson concerning him this morning. His faithfulness. As I said in verse 22, some says this is another man, but the same terms is given to him, of course. And we sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things. Now I mentioned here of another brother. No doubt this brother we're speaking about, he's the same. His faithfulness. The same spirit. And do you know what Apostle Paul says about this man in the ministry, in his Christian life? And you find the words there, as it says in verse 22, we have found oftentimes proved diligent in many things. In his service, he was diligent. This means he was prompt. This means you could depend upon this man. You could depend upon him to do the work that was set before him. He was faithful in the work. He was steadfast in the work. Friends, he was faithful in his service for the Lord. He was faithful in being sent. You see that term given to them in verse 18. And we have sent with him the brother. In verse 22 again. And we have sent with him our brother. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul, coming to the end of this particular epistle, he says, I sent a brother. And you can see immediately here, his faithfulness in being sent. You could depend upon him. And wherever he was sent, whatever place he was sent, he went to this place. Whatever he was asked to do, he did it. He did it. You see, dear friends, his faithfulness here, in the work, in his service. He was sent and he was faithful in his service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And also his faithfulness as well. Notice the word there, as it says in verse 22, and we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things. Notice the words, oftentimes. I want you to underline that word, because I did that in the study. I was looking there at this just before I came into the pulpit. And I perhaps nearly missed this word, oftentimes. You see, dear friends, some Christians are diligent sometimes. Sometimes. When it suits. That's not to be the case. Here's a brother, listen. Oftentimes. Oftentimes. And dear friends, he was faithful. He loved Christ. He served him. He was faithful. He was faithful in his duties. I said, bringing this gift and going out and bringing about. He was faithful in this. He was faithful in standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood for Christ. Perhaps he saw people come, people go, but he was standing. He was standing for Christ. He was faithful in the prayer meetings when the people came together. He was faithful. You could see him there. He was. There's his seat in the congregation. He's faithful. He's there. When the Lord's day comes, there he is. He's singing. He's praising Christ. He's faithful. Oftentimes. Oh, dear friends, all the time. He's standing up for Christ. He's faithful. Oftentimes. You know what it says of Moses in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5? And verily Moses was faithful in all his house. And dear friends, this man was faithful. His faithfulness in his duties in the church. He stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ. I came across a story about a young missionary who was in Central America seeking to do the work for the Lord. He wrote back home and he said about the work, it's very difficult. The people do not seem much interested in the gospel. Sometimes the adversity, the devil of course, tempts me to be discouraged in the face of seeming lack of success. But I take courage, I press on, and I remember God does not hold me responsible for success, but for faithfulness. And those closing words are tremendous. This young man, he's tempted to give up. He's faced with hardship and difficulties. He's faced with the devil. He's faced with discouragement. He feels perhaps it's time to go home, to give up. And then he remembers the great truth. God doesn't hold him responsible for success, but for faithfulness. Friends, we are to be faithful. The brother in the church, he was faithful. He was faithful. And I've been in the Free Church now a number of years. About 35 years to be exact. Saved 35 years now. I have seen people come and go. I have served the Lord in England and Scotland. And it's just like they come in this door and they go out that door. They're with you for a little time, a little time. They say, I'm with you. We love the preaching of the word of God here. We love the singing of the hymns. Oh, this is what we're looking for. And they know, friends, within 2 or 3 months, they're right through the other door. And what this church needs, and what all our churches needs, is people who's faithful, He says, I'm going to people like this brother. We don't know his name, but God hasn't told us. But he has told us enough about this man. I want to be like this brother. I want to stand up for Christ. I want to live for him. I want to be diligent. Listen. Oftentimes. Although the devil tells us, take it easy. Take it. Don't worry. Don't worry about going to the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting in the church here is only one night a week. That's one night. Can you give 1 hour during the week for God? Now some maybe can't. They're away, far away, working. Can't get back in time. Granted. But can you slip in this 1 hour for the prayer meeting and Bible study to meet with God? Can you come to the meetings, all the meetings here in the church? We want to be faithful. We want to stand for Christ. I know people, of course, who have come and they've gone. But I know people over 35 years in my ministry. And I'm going around the churches in Northern Ireland and they're still there. Now they're older. Some are coming in with their little, we call them simmers at home, walking frames. Some are coming in with their walking sticks. But friends are still there. They're still faithful. They're like a brother here in the church. They're going on. They're not coming and going, hot and cold. You can depend upon them. And some of our churches at home, and of course perhaps it's here as well in other places, it's the same people. You can depend upon them at all times. But let us all be dependable. Let us be faithful. We're in the family of God, and Christ is our Savior. Here's a man. Oh, you can depend upon him. He's diligent all the time. All the time. Oftentimes. Remember, God expects us and wants us to be faithful. And remember, this man is not doing this for a show. He's not doing this for a show. His name is not even given to us. And yet he's quietly working and serving Christ. He's happy to be known in the church. The brother in the church. Are you diligent? I hope you will be. And I will, of course. As we seek to live for Christ, that we'll be diligent, that we'll be faithful and understand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say a last thing very quickly about this man? As I think about the brother, I think about his future. Well, I'm speaking today, of course, with this man who's all known. I have no doubt about it, of course. He's with Christ, which is far better. He's had his term. He's had his service. He's had his opportunity to live for Christ. But we know that he died to be with Christ, which is far better. He's with Christ. He's in heaven. He's living with Christ for all eternity. Christ has brought him home. His work is over. He served the Lord. He was diligent. He was faithful. But dear friends, that day came. He died. He left this scene of time. And he was brought home to heaven. He's with Christ, which is far better. You see, he's a brother. And the Lord brings all his children home. I love that little term that's put on some gravestones. Called home. Called home. One day it'll be in mine. And child of God, it'll be in yours. God will call you home. See, a child of God, he brings his children home. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13, it says, and again, I will put my trust in him, and behold, again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me, Christ with all his people, those he has washed in his blood, those he has saved by his grace, here they are, all of us. When you're in the family of God, God will bring all his people home. And this world is not our home. All the troubles going on, coronavirus and so on. This world is not our home. We're going home. We look upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this term, the brother, all these lessons can be drawn from it. And child of God, you have these blessings and your great hope before you as well. We live for Christ. We'll die in Christ. And one day we'll be with Christ. If you're not converted, then you need him as your Lord and your Savior. And turn to him with all of your heart. All the Bible talks about this man, the brother, whose praise is in the gospel. May we live such a life. May we live for Christ. With only one opportunity, may we take it. And do it, my friends, with the best of our ability. and to be known as that brother and the sister in the gospel, listen, in all the churches. May God write his word to all of our hearts.